Good morning, House Finance on the record. Let the record reflect. It is 9:08 a.m. on Thursday, March 31st, 2022. Present today are Representative Thompson, Representative LeBron, Representative Edgman, Vice Chair Ortiz. Online we have Co-Chair Foster, Representative Josephson, Representative Wohl, Representative Johnson, and myself, Co-Chair Merrick. This morning we will consider amendments to House Bill 306, Extend Board of Pharmacy, by Representative Story. The committee last heard this bill March 15th, and amendments were due to my office by Wednesday, March 23rd at 6 p.m. We have one amendment before the committee this morning by Representative Carpenter, who is not here, so we will forego Amendment 1. Representative Story.
Thank you. For the record, Representative Andy Story, proudly representing District 34 here in the Valley. Thank you again, Co-Chair Merrick, for hearing this bill and the members of House Finance. We all know that the Board of Pharmacy must be extended for the critical work of licensing and regulation of the profession. I wanted to say a few words this morning. One is that I agree with the auditor's recommendation of extending the board for 6 years, but this, of course, is a decision of this body and the legislature. We all share a concern about the prescription drug monitoring program. I believe that fixing the PDMP, as it's known, is a separate issue from extending the Board of Pharmacy. The PDMP is housed in the Board of Pharmacy, but the board only has enforcement power and regulatory oversight over pharmacists. We have several other boards who participate in the prescription drug monitoring program: the medical board, the board of nursing, the board of dental examiners, the board of examiners in optometry, and the board of veterinarian examiners. And they are responsible to check and report on the prescription drug monitoring program as well. The chairs of these boards meet twice a month solely about the PDMP. My staff and has been working closely with the Division of Commerce and the Director of Licensing, Sarah Chambers, and we all feel strongly about how to make some progress on the PDMP, and I'd like to invite her up this morning because I think she has a solution for putting some focus on the PDMP that is separate from the licensing before you extension.
Great. Thank you, Representative Story. Brief at ease. Finance back on the record. Welcome, Ms. Chambers. Please place yourself on the record.
Thank you, Co-Chair Merrick and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. And I appreciate the efforts that every member of this committee has made in expressing concern and the desire for solutions on the PDMP, making sure that the PDMP is doing what the legislature has set forth for it to do, and that it's doing it well, and that everyone understands and agrees on the expectations of the PDMP. I appreciate the sponsors' desire as well to find some solutions. And so what we have been doing since the last hearing is discussing with the PDMP board chairs, as Representative Story mentioned, and working with some of the members of the committee to identify existing funding sources that could help the department locate a contractor or consultant or someone with some PDMP expertise that would be able to take a holistic view of how the PDMP fits into the state's opioid crisis management, whether there is legislation that could be recommended in a subsequent report to the legislature, any changes, big or small, what the departments and the boards could be doing differently, what can we as the administration could be doing differently, and looking at other states, providing technical assistance. So we know those resources are out there, and I think we had been working on trying to connect the dots, especially with our limited resources. So we've been working with the Division of Public Health and Director Hedberg to identify some funding through a grant source and believe that this might provide an option for us to go ahead and move forward on this report and analysis in a way that would edify not only our division and the Department of Health and the legislature and the committee's concerns as well.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. We appreciate that. Representative Edgman, and then Wool, or pardon me, LeBron.
Yes, very quickly, I appreciate the exchange, and I was one who raised concerns about the PDMP, and that satisfies my concern, and I'm ready to support the bill that is presented before the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative LeBron.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm going to move Amendment 1 with your permission.
Is there an objection? Representative LeBron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we heard from the auditor that there are some issues with board governance and the working relationship between the pharmacy board and the agency, and I would just think we would want to have a look-see with progress toward improving the work of the board and a reduction from 2028 to 2026 on the extended date for the board would be in, I think, good order. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Is the objection maintained? Further discussion? Thank you. Will the secretary please call the roll on amendment number 1?
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative LeBond.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Yes.
Representative Wolf.
No.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Merrick.
No.
Representative Foster.
I can't quite hear in the back, but I think that was me. If it is no for Foster.
For yay, 5, against 5.
With a vote of 4 yays and 5 nays, amendment number 1 has failed to be adopted. Further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Finance on the record, Mr. Vice Chair.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 306, version 32-LS1434-A from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note, and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection?
I'd like to object for discussion purposes.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. So I just put a note in my phone to remind myself to bring this up next January if I happen to be lucky enough to be here. I just want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence. I do have some concerns about the length because we have identified some issues, and I know as we go forward with our next year's budget that it's easy to let these things just kind of go by the wayside, and I would hope that if we have, you know, there may be an opportunity in the future to talk about boards and commissions, and I think that would probably be a healthy thing for some of our boards. I'm not interested in shutting the board down. I'm not really interested in spending a whole bunch of extra money to get the, you know, another audit just to come back to the committee and say, well, we same exact thing is happening. But somehow we have to figure out this thing of where we get a report that may not be 100% or what exactly we want to vote on, but yet how are we going to deal with that? So that's what I wanted to make sure we put that on the record.
Thank you. Is the objection maintained? With the removal of the objection, is there further objection? Hearing none, with that, House Bill 306 is moved from committee. Thank you, Representative Story and Ms. Chambers. Brief at ease. House Finance back on the record. We will now take up House Bill 60, which was tabled yesterday. Representative Rasmussen, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 60 to be taken up from the table.
Is there an objection?
Yes.
There is an objection. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This has the potential to be a total waste of this committee's time. I think that we have better things that we need to get done. And I think this is just the wrong thing to do at this time. The Senate version is going to be onto our House floor. We're going to be rehashing this a second time as we move forward over the next week or two, and I object.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. I will note any amendments made in this committee can be rolled into a committee substitute. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, is the objection maintained?
It is.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Josephson?
On the motion to take off the table, yes.
Representative Lavon?
Yes, on the objection.
Brief at ease.
What are we voting on?
Finance on the record. Madam, if you would please clear the roll and begin again.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
Representative Lavon?
No.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Rasmussen?
Yes.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Representative Wolf?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Merritt?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
And with a vote of 6 yea and 4 nay, House Bill 60 has been removed from the table.
Madam Chair, I move that we adjourn. That takes precedence over anything else we're doing.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Can you please call the roll on the motion to adjourn?
Representative Lavon?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
No.
Representative Rasmussen?
Yes.
Representative Thompson?
Yes.
Representative Wolf?
No.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Merritt?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
And with a vote of 4 yea and 6 nay, the motion to adjourn has not been adopted. And with that, there are 7 amendments before the committee this morning. Representative Klayman, would you like to make an opening statement?
I don't have an opening statement, just happy to discuss the amendments as they come along.
Great, thank you very much. Amendment number 1 is by Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson, is there a motion?
Madam Co-Chair, I move amendment number 1.
There is an objection. Representative Johnson.
Madam Co-Chair, this motion adds transparency and parental involvement. Many of my constituents are concerned about schools overlapping with parents when it comes to raising kids. And so this amendment would require that notices are provided to the parents about any mental health programs with a description of what it entails, details on the instruction, and gives parents the right to object and withdraw the student. Schools do that on many other topics, including sexual education, and so this should be no different.
Thank you. And I should have let the record reflect at 9:16 a.m. we were joined by Representative Rasmussen. Further discussion on Amendment 1. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be voting no on this particular amendment. And the reason is because the bill itself calls for an optional opportunity for districts to adopt guidelines that would come forward from the state. It's optional that they adopt those guidelines. It's optional that they adopt any form of a mental health program within their district curriculum. And what this amendment would do would reach down into local control local board control, and basically try to mandate what a local board may or may not do. I think most of the legislature is in support of local control of schools. That's what the whole foundation of the school board system is about. So I think this amendment goes against that basic principle, and so therefore I will vote no.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Rasmussen, and then Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, and I think to the previous speaker's point that the most local control you can get as a parent and their child, I agree that districts should have some flexibility, but when it comes to making sure that parents are involved and informed about the curriculum that is being taught to their child, I do think that we need provisions like this in place. So I will be supporting the amendment and ask for the rest of the members to support it as well.
Thank you. Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I want to remind people this is a bill that gives guidance for developing instructions in mental health. And this overlying language here is about physical and mental health of a child, of a student. And really, the whole health of the child is physical and mental, inclusive. You know, if your kid is sick, they're not physically well. If they're depressed or have mental illness, they're not mentally well. And that's the totality of health. It's not one or the other. It's all of it. And, you know, to be able to talk about the subject of mental health in a classroom, I don't think should require parental permission. It's not like sex education. And maybe families discuss at home, but maybe they don't. But, you know, no one says, boy, before we talk about nutrition, we got to get parental buy-in. I haven't heard that one yet. So this is akin to that, and I don't support it. You know, many schools are including mental health sections of their health class because it is part of health. And I don't see any problem with it. I haven't heard anything, haven't heard any complaints. It's been going on in my kids' education probably since the beginning. They see, even in elementary school, once a week they go to counselor, it's called, and they talk about stuff. And this bill is not overly prescriptive. It's guidelines, and I don't think you should require parental permission or parental notification. I think it's totally unnecessary.
Great, thank you. And Representative LeBron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think the point of this amendment, and I support it, is the process will require school board endorsement of whatever comes out of this mental health arena, if you will, through the State Board of Education. So a local school board will have a weigh-in opportunity. And I think the concern is, will a program come out of this, or is it just a embedded expectation or a cultural change within each school district's curriculum? And if what comes out of this is some kind of a program, visualize a mental health class, then the opt-in or opt-out would kick in. I think that's what this amendment does. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Edgman.
So I'm going to oppose this for two reasons. One, because I think it's redundant. We already have in state law that school districts have autonomy, and they work through things that are called the organizational structure that includes school boards. So schools can already do this. Number two, if this were to go into law, then we are picking up mental health and not having the same application applied towards alcohol, drug abuse, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, early cancer prevention, detection, dental health, family health, environmental health, and all of the rest, the Breeze Law portion. So I think this is highly prescriptive, and really, it's just unnecessary. So I'm going to be opposing for that reason.
Thank you, Representative Edgman. To the bill sponsor, I have in my notes that this concept is in Senate Bill 80, which is a companion bill. Are you aware of that?
I think there may be parts of it. I don't think it's identical in Senate Bill 80.
Great, thank you. Further discussion? Representative Wolf.
Just briefly, yeah, Representative LeBron said something that triggered a thought, which was, well, we might have a class in mental health. I think they do. You can take psychology in high school, and probably in junior high, and it's a class that teaches about the subject of psychology, which includes mental health. I haven't seen a permission slip for that class. You know, it's just basic knowledge, and they just want to talk about the subject of mental health. No one's advocating for therapy sessions or anything like that, and it's guidance for districts. I just think, agree, way overly prescriptive.
Thank you, Representative LeBond.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And as response to Representative Walz, psychology was not a required course, at least in the Fairbanks School District when I was on the school board. It was an elective. So in a sense, parents did have a say whether their son or daughter was taking the course. But what would be the harm in allowing parental input one way or the other, whether it's a required course or not, be it psychology or some other descriptive course for mental health? I don't see the danger in allowing parental input with that decision.
Thank you, Representative Wolf, and then Ortiz.
Thank you. Well, since the question was posed, I will posit an answer. Maybe the child that needs to hear about the mental health issues and subjects regarding mental health maybe has a family that doesn't want them to hear that, and maybe they need the mental health education portion. You know, maybe it's a good thing to learn regardless of, and I'm not trying to subvert parental intent, but I think mental health is a really important issue in school. Some kids are hiding their mental health illness. Teen suicide is extremely high, and a lot of times the parent of a child that's taken their life says, I didn't know anything was going on. They were an A student. I had no idea. Now, if that parent said, there's a mental health section, I don't want you taking it, the kid says, okay, I'm not taking it. But maybe that's the child that really needs it. So I think it's an important component of overall holistic health.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you. I'll be brief, Madam Chair. In response to the member on my left from Fairbanks, again, we're talking about a bill that is providing an option for districts to adopt guidelines. They may or they may not. For us to assume that we know better than a local board, I'm sure a local board, before they adopt any kind of mental health program, if they do, if they haven't already, there's plenty of opportunity for public coming to the board, expressing concerns, local control, basic principles of what the whole school system is based on here in Alaska, and I think probably in many cases, many places around the rest of the United States. It's like, whoa, talk about the government coming down and saying, this is what you're going to do, taking away local control. No, it's just not in the spirit of that basic principle. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Klayman?
I would just note that I don't support the amendment because I think the whole point of the guidelines is not to force them on any district. It's for the district to have something to look at when they're deciding whether to do something or not. And I think this not only takes away from local control, but it also creates an unfunded mandate. So I would urge the committee to vote no on the amendment.
So just to clarify, this amendment could basically be adopted by the local school board or school district at their discretion.
Yes.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, in wrap-up, Representative Johnson on Amendment 1.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So I heard a lot of different things, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds, although it looks like we probably are already. I just don't find providing a parental opt-out is overly prescriptive. I guess I just find that just what the right thing to do is. But we had a for instance, so what if we have kids that have mental health issues and they might be hiding them and they're not talking to their parents? But what about the kid that's actually in a mental health, already in therapy and in some kind of psychiatric treatment, and their parents are involved with that child and there is serious problems, and now they don't tell the school district about it because that's family business, and next thing you know, we've got the kid in therapy in school. Unless the kid tells the parent about it, they don't know. We could have conflicting issues. We could have conflicting advice happening. I just think that that's a little bit dangerous, and I have some concerns with that. I don't see how this is an unfunded mandate, and I do think that you do have to think about the mental health of someone and the physical health. It has to be holistic, as someone said. But this is so wide open. There's just, I had no idea what this meant when I read the bill the first time. Turns out that there was a lot of discussion about suicide prevention. And it's like, okay, that makes sense. But that's not what it said. And this doesn't refer to the diagnostic manual or anything to do with what mental health is going to mean. So for that reason, I do think parents should be involved.
Thank you. Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
And with that, Madam Secretary?
Representative Ortiz?
No.
Representative Rasmussen?
Yes.
Representative Wohl?
No.
Representative Edgemond?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Lamont?
Yes.
Representative Merrick?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
And with a vote of 3 yea and 6 nay, amendment number 1 has failed to be adopted. That takes us to amendment number 2 by Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson, is there a motion?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move amendment number 2.
There is an objection. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This amendment removes from page 2, lines 6 through 8, DHSS and other organizations, and simply adds the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council. We heard a lot of public testimony about suicide and mental health issues, but this bill does not include the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council. They really should be the top entity listed here. It makes more sense for them to be the primary source that works with other entities. They already do that. They work with the stakeholders, be it state departments, the tribal and other health organizations, local communities. So it's not about excluding anyone. This council was established in 2001 by statute. Their duties include community education, inform and advise the governor and legislature, work with the state and local government, schools, Native communities, and overall wellness. Members of the council include representatives from the Alaska Federation of Natives, Health and Social Services, a survivor, youth, legislators, Alaska Mental Health Trust, and the military. They're also public seats. Overall, all this makes much more sense. While their name focuses on suicide, their mission is holistic, and it includes wellness.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Edgemond.
Again, I would, you know, I'd say, as in the First Amendment, these are well-intended amendments, but when I look at the bill, I think this is just overlap as well. I see in the bill, in the legislative intent section, to, you know, there'd be consultation with the Department of Health and Social Services, regional tribal health organizations, representatives of national and state mental health organizations. If we start itemizing something like the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, which I think fits under state mental health organizations, then we get into a, you know, sort of an aspect of this whole statutory construct where we should itemize out for every single thing that's in here. And again, that just falls on the overly prescriptive side of things, and I will not be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz?
No, thank you.
Representative Wohl?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I want to follow up with what Representative Edgemond says, and I agree with him that state mental health organizations to suicide prevention should fall under that. I think you want to cast as wide a net as possible. Suicide definitely is a problem, but there's also other issues, mental health issues that are non-suicide, you know, whether body image issues, addiction, substance abuse, you know, many other things, anxiety, what you name it. So I think narrowing it just to suicide is too narrow and overly prescriptive for this bill.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Klayman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't support the amendment. I certainly recognize that suicide is both an issue in the state and a national issue, but if the only mental health issues were suicide, I wouldn't want that anybody that has a mental health issue to be suicidal. I think it narrows the focus, and I think that for the same reasons identified by members of the committee, that the State Suicide Prevention Council would certainly be part of the state mental health organizations that can participate. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll on amendment number two? Oh, I apologize. In wrap-up.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Yeah, I do continue to have concerns about the erosion of parental rights. As mentioned before, I like the idea of having sideboards on this. And I also want to make note that suicide prevention does deal with wellness all the way over a spectrum. And so it isn't prescriptive. It's just being aware of one of the largest problems that we have in Alaska, and it's not getting any better. Thank you.
Thank you. And the objection is maintained? Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Representative Edgemond.
No.
Representative Johnson.
Yep.
Representative Josephson.
No.
Representative Laban.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Rasmussen.
Yes.
Representative Wolf.
No.
Representative Merrick.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
3 yay, 6 nay.
And with a vote of 3 yay and 6 nay, amendment number 2 has failed to be adopted. That takes us to amendment number 3 by Representative Laban. Representative Laban, is there a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 3.
Object.
Representative Laban.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment applies whether mental health becomes a program within a school district or is simply embedded into the health curriculum. This amendment proposes that before instruction on mental health, an educator must state a verbal disclaimer that includes they are not a mental health professional and they may only provide information with the guidelines for instruction in mental health established by the state board. And I would also include in that description the local board of education, because they have a say in how the curriculum, whether it's a program or embedded, would be treated by the school district. I believe this change is necessary because it acknowledges mental health is a very complex topic. Licensed mental health care providers have years of education requiring a master's or doctorate degree and thousands of hours of internship and training. Scope of practice is about staying within your lane of expertise. I don't feel it is the intent of this bill to place a teacher in a role that's outside of their lane. This amendment for a verbal disclaimer will both remind the teacher and students of the limited intention to provide mental health information in the classroom. And I move amendment number 3.
Thank you. Further discussion on amendment number 3? Representative Josephson.
I oppose the amendment because I think it would lead to a stilted class atmosphere. My wife is a second grade teacher, and she tells me constantly about little ways, sometimes more significant, that her 7-year-old students are reflecting some struggles of mental health, mostly through self-esteem, concerns, lack of feeling of personal worth. And this is just very, it's stilted. A teacher is supposed to say to a 6- or 7-year-old, by the way, just so you know, I'm not a mental health professional. I mean, it's beyond awkward. And it seems to prevent infusing a conversation, for example, about how to handle sadness or loss into story time. So I just think it's not necessary.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Edgemond?
Yeah, I feel like I'm being highly redundant here as well. But I guess a question to the maker of the amendment when he gets to wrap up. But it's my understanding that the school board can already do this at a local level. They can already put this into the force of their law, their guidelines or policies, whatever it is. And I also struggle with the fact that we're once again segregating one component of the entire statute, 14-3360A, and applying higher standards to it than all the rest. And I can pull out about child abuse, child abduction, neglect, sexual abuse, domestic violence. We don't have that in law with these standards, so it's incongruent to me, and it just doesn't meet the sort of the disparity test. So thank you. I'll be opposing it.
Thank you. Representative Wohl?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. We had a caller during, a testifier during this bill hearing previously, a teacher, an educator, that said something akin to what Representative Josephson said, which is teachers and students have a mentor-mentee relationship, and often a student will go to a teacher to talk about whatever. And again, there's no disclaimer. I'm sorry, I'm not a health care professional. I can't advise you on, you know, whatever. And I don't think they're doing mental health therapy sessions, but you know, kids talk to teachers talk to kids, that might talk about subject of a book that they're studying. I think it further stigmatizes mental health, which we're trying to unstigmatize it. We're trying to get people to be able to talk about it, but the more we put these special barriers around it, it's becoming stigmatized. And that was the problem with some of these other amendments. I think it's part of health. Mental health, physical health, it's all of health, and I don't think we should stigmatize it by putting big barriers and warning lights around it.
Thank you. Representative Clayman?
I just want to note that I don't support the amendment, but for the same reason I stated, but the other kind of quirky part about this amendment is it actually takes authority away from the local board, because under the framing of this amendment, if a local board chose to have things in a curriculum that they adopted through a robust public process, and they have things in their curriculum for health, including mental health aspects or physical health that weren't part of the guidelines, this amendment would say you actually can't teach what the local board shows you should teach. It actually takes authority away, because the way this amendment is worded, you are limited to what's only in the guidelines adopted by the state board. And what we've seen with the current board guidelines for health, it's a two-page document that doesn't have a lot of detail, and you would expect some districts to have a much more robust program that they adopt, and I think this would limit that very local authority that I'm encouraging. So I don't support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on Amendment 3? Seeing none, and wrap-up, Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, guidelines are guidelines, and each school board, all 53, I believe, in the state of Alaska would have to deal with the guidelines and interpret them as they feel appropriate. And yes, there would be parental input and discussion and a vote up or down by a school board. But I guess I'm thinking about this also in this way. So the comment was made about a 7-year-old showing maybe mental health issues. And it draws to me the image of, is that 7-year-old having a bad day, or is there something wrong at home? And I don't know how a classroom teacher would know which one it is. So would the classroom teacher be motivated to write a note home and send it with the 7-year-old saying, I'm observing some disturbing behavior. Maybe you might want to go get a mental health professional to chat with your child. I don't know if that is what we want to have happen. I know the issue of mental health is important, and I'm not downplaying it, but I just want to make sure that there's reasonable sidebars in this, and that we're not expecting classroom teachers to become mental health professionals overnight, and there is a process to have those skills, education, and experience, and that's the intent of the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz, is your objection maintained?
Yes.
With that, Madam Secretary?
Representative Rasmussen?
Yes.
Representative Wohl?
No.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative LeBon?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
No.
Representative Merritt?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
3 yay, 6 nay.
And with a vote of 3 yay and 6 nay, Amendment number 3 has not been adopted. Amendment number 4 by Representative Rasmussen. Representative Rasmussen?
Madam Co-Chair, I will not move Amendment number 4 at this time.
Amendment number 4 has been withdrawn. Takes us to amendment number 5 by Representative Edgman. Representative Edgman, is there a motion on amendment 5?
Yes, I move amendment number 5.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Edgman.
Can we have a brief at ease, please?
Yes, brief at ease. Finance on the record, Representative Edgman.
Yes, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. If I might, I'd like to defer for explanation of the amendment to the bill sponsor.
Representative Klayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment number 5 is an amendment that we had suggested and asked Representative Edgman to introduce, and the purpose is actually to make sure that after the guidelines are there's a two-year period for the guidelines to be completed, and we would want a report so that the legislature actually saw what was done by the board, so it's not sort of disappears into the Netherlands. And so the purpose of this amendment is to make sure that the legislature is aware of the guidelines that were actually adopted.
Thank you. Further discussion on Amendment 5? Hearing none. Any wrap-up, Representative Edgman?
No, thank you.
With that, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Amendment number 5 has been adopted. Takes us to amendment number 6. Representative Edgman, is there a motion?
I move amendment number 6, Madam Co-Chair, and would ask the bill sponsor as well to elaborate on.
I will object for discussion. Representative Klayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment was actually in response to debate that went on in this committee about questions about whether physical health was also included, because it wasn't specifically stated in the bill. And so this was an amendment my office suggested to Representative Edgman to introduce that would clarify that the guidelines would address both physical and mental health.
Thank you. Further discussion? Hearing none, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Hearing none, amendment number 6 has been adopted. This takes us to our final amendment, number 7. Representative Edgman, is there a motion?
Madam Co-Chair, I move amendment number 7, and once again, I would ask to turn to the bill sponsor to explain it.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Klayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 7 is actually an amendment that addresses the changes in structure by Executive Order 121 that split the Department of Health and Human Services into two departments, the Department of Health and the Department of Family and Community Services, I think, are the two different departments. And so this amendment just makes that, and rather than trying to choose between both departments would be included in the list of those that participate in the guidelines. So this is just an amendment to bring us up to date.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Hearing none, amendment number 7 has been adopted. With that, we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance back on the record, and with that, the amendment process has been complete. We will take no more further amendments on House Bill 60. We will set this aside for another meeting, and with that, this concludes our agenda for this morning. Our next meeting will be this afternoon at 1:30. We will hear public testimony on HB 308, Dementia Awareness, House Bill 323, Extending the Physical and Occupational Therapy Board, and we will consider House Bill 229, Higher Education Investment Fund. With that, at 9:55 a.m., we are adjourned. Thank you.